us, Lord. Father, thank you that the veil has been torn and that you've already made a way, Jesus, for us to be multidimensional beings, Father, as we are spirit beings, Lord, living on this earth, but also living in the heavenly realm. That's the place we choose. That's the place you've made a way for. That's the place that Jesus paid a big price for. And that's what we embrace fully, Lord. Anything else, Lord, it's not from your hand. And we rejoice that you have made a safe place and a safe way for us. So we thank you, Lord, that we hear with our spiritual ears. We see with our spiritual eyes. And we give you the glory for who you are, Jesus, as our great and mighty high priest. You are the one, Lord, who continuously intercedes for us. Our eyes we choose to have on you, fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we choose to be. That's where we choose to remain. And Lord, in that there is no confusion. In that place there is no deep heartache. In that place, God, there is nothing but grace and glory, God. For the flow of the Spirit is mighty. So we praise you this morning, Lord, Lion of Judah, that you are roaring. That you're moving, God, in such a tangible way, Lord. That you design us to feel you, to know your presence, and to listen to the new sound and be part of bringing the new sound from heaven to earth. So, Lord, that's the desire of our hearts this morning. And we celebrate you because you're so good. We celebrate you because in you there's no fear. We celebrate you because you lavish your love all over us, God. And the enemy is a thief. And he likes to destroy, but we say no, that you have rendered him inoperative, God, and we are called to enforce that very role. I thank you, Lord, for the great grace that's upon this house, the great and mighty grace that releases us to move and live freely in the miraculous realm. We just call forth the miraculous to take place, Lord, in our everyday lives. As a testimony of your greatness, as a testimony of your kingdom advancing, as a testimony of your kingdom moving through us to the ends of the earth, God. Father, what else can we say? What else can our response be other than we hear, we give ourselves completely to you and we offer you to move mightily inside of every fiber of our being, God. That's our only legitimate response, and the illegitimate one would love to stop that. So we say we're tethered to you. We're tethered to the cross. We're tethered to the resurrection, and we're tethered to your love and power. That's our heart, God. Thank you for expanding the boundaries, expanding the territories. Thank you, Lord, that you enlarge that capacity to love. Enlarge the capacity to receive. Enlarge the capacity to hunger after you. For without you, God, it can't happen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Papa. We just cry out to you, Papa, this morning. And say, Lord, we're here. We're your kids. And we see you and we see what you're doing, God. Show us more. Show us your glory. Show us more. Show us your glory, God. Show us more. Show us your glory. We cry out for the more. We cry out for the more. Show us, God. 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 Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Yes, God. We say yes and amen. Yes to your promises. Yes to your faithfulness, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hear the sound of heaven. Hear the sound of heaven.
I can hear the sound of the river coming down. I can hear the sound of the river.
Just press in.
Proceed to the sound of heaven.
Listen to the sound. Heaven is speaking.
Yes, God.
Listen to the sound.
Ho!
Listen to the sound. Listen to the sound. Heaven is speaking. Listen to the sound. Open up your heart to what the Lord is saying. Open up the heart to what the Lord is saying. Open up your heart for what the Lord is saying. Listen to the sound. Open up your heart for what the Lord is saying. Open up your heart for what the Lord is saying. Open up your heart for what the Lord is saying. Listen.
Actually, to me, so many years ago, and I want to share it with you for whatever God wants to do with it. But I was in my kitchen. My kids were very little. One of my sons, Joey to us, he was riding his bike in the neighborhood, and I was in my kitchen, and it was a summer day, and we were blessed to have some air. We had all the windows closed, the doors closed. And I was in my kitchen, and I heard him scream, and I heard him cry out, and I heard it, and it was spiritual. The Lord opened up my ears to hear what was happening. And I turned in my kitchen, and I ran into the living room, and I looked out, and I saw my little boy laying on the ground on his bicycle next to the wheel of a car that was across the street and down just a little bit. I felt as though I was walking on water as I leapt over to the door and I jumped off of the porch. I felt like I got to him in two steps. Of course, that's what it felt like. And I looked in him, and his bike and his head were just next to the tire. And I praised the Lord that he was alive and that he was okay. And he just laid there. And the lady got out of the car. She could not. She was stifled. She could not put him first, or did not at that point. She was so concerned that she couldn't be found guilty of hitting my child or his bike running in, whatever she thought it happened, you know. And I remember something rose up. And the Lord said, push that away. Don't receive that. This is about me and what I'm doing. But I never forgot it. And my son was perfectly fine. God saved his life, and I'm sure many other times. And we got him checked out of the hospital. No collateral damage. It was just absolutely miraculous that what the enemy intended to do, to kill him, I'm sure, he couldn't. He didn't. And my son was unscathed. But with that, yes, hallelujah. But with that, what the Lord showed me, hi, sweetie, was that there was so much fear in this lady that she was unable to express her deep and sincere, oh my gosh, I am so sorry. She couldn't do it. And it was absolutely incredible. at that moment. But the Lord said, don't judge her. Focus on what I am doing. But I believe, as I prayed for her over the years and forgave her for not being able to bring comfort or show care or concern at that time, I believe the Lord was so gracious to touch her in the deepest places, saying, I'm the one that helped you not kill that little boy. I love you. And I believe that through prayer, unbeknownst to that lady, I remember the lady, I believe that if not now, sometime, that very fear that propelled her from the inability to express sorrow, repentance, I'm sorry, anything, she could not see the magnitude of what had happened. But you see, God, when He allows us to go through things, He wants us to see what He has rescued us out of, what He has saved us from. And that may include even a recognition of our actions, of how we have been or how we come across. And when we see how big God's love is for us, it will propel us to go and say, God, forgive me, and go to people. I'm so sorry, because we will see the result of where we were. And it's the way of the kingdom. It's no one would appear to the lady that I know of and say, do you realize what was going on? And do you realize you were captured by your own inability to move, and excuses came forth? It was his fault. Let's measure. Oh my goodness, can you see it? But God took care of the situation, and he said, I'm going to use every situation in your life to try you and test you. Everything. I am going to use anything that comes your way, if you will allow me. And I will propel you into my faithfulness, into my goodness, and it will produce the fruit of complete and total change of heart and mind and thinking, and grow up a godly gratitude. And that, my sisters and brothers and sons and daughters, that will move mountains out of the way. So this morning, the Lord has given me a word about faith, and I'm going to share it as I am here. We're going to release the kids in a minute. Because I had such concern for this lady as I held my baby in my arms, thanking God. But that could only come, the concern I would have could only come from going through and seeing God through bigger eyes than my stuff. You know? And it's checked me when I am, you know, in error, or make a mistake or sin, or you call it what you want, a breach of love. It's like, God, show me, give me the full effect of how you saw that. And I'll just be your little kid and trust you that you are so faithful, you're going to use it for my good. And it will be for part of the expansion of the kingdom. Amen? So we're going to look in the Word today and see what God says about that. This is just my experience. And it was so long ago, and God just raced that through my mind. He will help us clean ourselves, clean up our stuff. But it's with grace and mercy and confidence and love, because he's overcome fear. He has overcome fear. And he says, I will teach you and train you how to walk in the same, so you can offer grace and mercy and not fear what man would say or do, ever. But hear my words. Isn't that beautiful? Before we release the kids, just so the teachers hear this, I have a quick testimony also that came this morning. Okay? We're going to Mozambique. One of our spiritual daughters is in Indonesia, and you know her, most of you, Tanya. And she's gone a couple years. And she got in touch with Jamie and myself towards the end of the week, and she said, I can't go to Mozambique this year. And she was planning on going, coming with us. And I said, why? She said, I'm in perfect peace with not going. I said, really? What happened? She said, I'm graduating from university in August, University of Indonesia in August, yes. And they told me I can't go. I have a report, an end of my college career report. I'm not sure exactly what it covers or what it is, but it's a big deal. I'm going to give that in June. But they told me that in July, for administrative purposes, I must be. If I want to graduate, they highly suggest, if I want to graduate, if I want to get out of here, in this most incredibly Muslim country, mind you. Okay, this is not America, this is Indonesia. Most concentrated Muslim release in the world. Okay? So when she goes up against anyone, there's a little bit more of a spiritual push, maybe a lot more than what we encounter in this country. And so she said, I've talked to my family, and I told them what they told me at school, and they said, this must be the Lord. I said, okay. And I prayed about it. It's been happening for a couple days, and I'm at peace about it. I said, okay. She said, I still want to be part of Frontline. I said, of course, you're in the family. It's fine. Are you upset with me? No. What do you think? Well, what do you want? I want to serve and love God. Okay. I can always go another time. I said, I know. I said, do you want to Skype? Yes. I said, so we did. And I said, what is your family saying? Oh, my family, they're saying no, they're Christians, and this is God. I said, oh, okay. And she had the financial help, or a lot, some of it anyway. I said, what about your church in Indonesia? And she said, well, most everyone there is saying yes. Stay here. We need you. Stay here. You can always go do something else. And then at that time, another pastor, her mother's a pastor, and there's another pastor, so I'm not quite sure how all this works yet. there'll be other shifts coming for them. But one man said, go pray, preach the gospel if you have the chance. I said, oh, okay. What did you think about that? I just weighed it with everything else. And I said, okay. I said, well, you have said that you want to go. Why do you want to go? I love Jesus, and I love people, and I want to be there. And I said, okay. And she was in great turmoil at that time, because I was smiling at her, and I was giving her, I believe, what Scripture was saying about what we can have. It's up to her. No guilt, no condemnation, no fear. And she was going back and forth and struggling. And I said, are you intimidated by the people around you? She said, yes. I mean, a long conversation. A great young woman of faith with incredible pressure around here. And she said, the perspective that you're releasing to me, I've never heard before. I said, well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You can take it and do with it what you want. I'm giving you scriptures, I'm giving you. And so, here's what happened. I said, what would you do if you felt that it was okay with your church family? And she said, well, I would come. What would you do if it was okay with your school? What would you do? And she said, I would come. And I said, well, what if your family felt that you were being wishy-washy about it? How do you feel? She goes, I believe God is saying, he would say to me and is saying, he would send me, and I need to listen to his voice first above all people in a very honoring way. I said, okay. I said, do you want me to pray for you? Yes. I said, if you get the strategy from heaven and God is behind this, humility will carry you, and you will watch God do amazing things. And so she went back and forth. There was silence for a long time. I said, we can shut this down. There's no pressure on this end. That's not how we operate. I can offer you opportunities, and you can think about whatever you want to do. She goes, no, I don't want to get off the Skype. She says, I feel peace. Okay? So she was very quiet. She opened, her eyes were closed for a little bit. She opened her eyes and she said, I want to go the wild ride of faith. I want the wild ride of the faith adventure. That's what she said, right out of her mouth. And I said, okay. She goes, that's what I want. I said, all right. Do you want me to pray? Yes. What do you want me to pray? I want to believe that those mountains will be removed completely and that I will go. I said, really? She goes, yes, I'm feeling the peace of God here. I said, but you had peace before. She said, yeah, I don't understand that. I said, well, because of your great humility, which she is very humble, I said, the Lord honors that and says, I love you, daughter. You're in my process. You want to grow in humility above all else. I was telling her about this and gave her some examples of that. And it's true. So I was speaking the truth over her because there was something else coming towards her. I got this WhatsApp this morning that she went to two different Muslim administrators and the Lord just completely turned them, totally, and said, yes, you can go. They broke their rules completely. And they said, you can go, you are free. Two different ones that she went up against. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? And she's very sweet and humble and just presented again that whatever, I don't know what happened, I didn't hear it, the strategy God gave her, and she watched God just completely turn her situation around, and she's going to Mozambique. And she was very grateful to the Lord. Everybody has their own story. This was hers, and she asked me to share it. I asked her to give a video testimony, and she said it's too long for WhatsApp. So I said I would share it. So I just want to give you glory, Lord, for the fact that you do honor what you say faith can do and what you say faith is. And we're just your kids, Lord, trying to understand that. And all of us are running through that grid, that testimony, everything in our own life, trying to figure all this out. And you, Lord, say that today is the day that you're going to increase us in that understanding by your word in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's release the kids, go to Kingdom Land, and I'm very excited. If you take notes, this is a good day, because we're going to run through Hebrews, and Hebrews is very, very powerful. So if you don't have your Bible, can you get one? Where are the Bibles? Are up here. Yeah. So if you need a Bible, come get a Bible. If not, that's great, but this is very, very important. If you can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to run through a lot. And my suggestion is that when you write these notes, when you take notes, if you choose to do so, that you review them and you think about them. There's power in the Word, and the Word of God set everything in motion. Just read Genesis chapter 1. So we need the Word, we need the power of the Word. And we need to hear exactly what he's saying to us in this hour. He's very, very sure. Okay, so while you're doing that, I'm going to turn in Hebrews chapter 3. Yeah. And then share with you when everybody comes back, because there's, you know, a lot of people off on holiday today. So I want to make sure that you can get as many people to hear the word of God as possible. So when people come back from releasing the kids, I'm going to read to you a prophetic word that was actually sent to me, I don't even know the date, a week or two ago. And I've had in my email, and in the position I'm in, Pastor Bill and I are in, we get lots of prophetic words from people. And we read through and go, okay, what do we do with that, God? What are you saying right now? What's the bigger picture? Show me the word for us for this season, for the region that we're responsible for to respond to, and for what you're doing also, God, in the world at large. Show us what that would be so that we're accurately dividing the word of truth. And so, yeah, I want to give you that in just a minute. I think you'll really be encouraged because it's actually about this month. It's actually about May. And other people, when they return, will be able to hear this because it's being recorded. But let's look at Hebrews chapter 3. Yeah. Now again, write these references down if you would, guys, so that you can go back and reread this and think about these things, because we're going to go fairly quickly through this. I'm assuming the standard is high for the Word of God, so we're going to be moving fairly quickly. So let's look at the very beginning of chapter 3 of Hebrews. This is Jesus, our high priest. So we're going to be talking about who he is and how we're to respond to him. And he is the absolute perfect example of how we should be living. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. When we hear the word consider, the Lord is saying everything needs to run through the grid of Jesus Christ. Everything that happens to us, everything we're thinking about, every reaction we have, every understanding we have, everything in our life, we need to consider Jesus. What do you say? What do you think? If we make him, really, even with our confession, our standard, oh my gosh, our worlds are going to be turned upside down. And that is his promise. So when he tells us to consider, he's saying, consider me, consider Jesus. He is the ultimate high priest, and he's the great apostle. And so, the priest of our confession and apostle, he was faithful. Now notice the words faith, because we're going to be going through a lot of words about faith. We could concentrate on fear, but that's not fun. Why? Fear is fear, and it's ugly, it's binding, and it will take many forms. And God has tried to he has eradicated fear when he went to the cross. Fear from affecting us, and he rose from the dead. So he's saying, I'm going to raise the bar of your faith so that you will recognize when fear is active, and you will not be content with any fear attempting to hold you, bind you, or anybody close to you. It'll just make you darn mad, because you'll be able to see, this is not Jesus, no way, not on my watch. And we will be made stronger warriors for these last days that we're in, each one of us, amen? Okay, and God will meet us right where we are, and he will grow us up quickly if we want to. Okay, so he was faithful to him who appeared. Sorry, these glasses. One moment.
I'm like reading it out of my Bible. That's a little better.
Soon to not have these, in Jesus' name. He was faithful, verse 2, to him who appointed him. As Moses, now notice Moses, because we're going to talk about him. Also, as Moses also was in his house, in all his house. So he was faithful to him, okay? He was faithful to him. Who's him? Jesus, who appointed him as Moses was also in all his house. We're talking about the God of the Jesus, of the apostle and the high priest of our confession. So our Father God is in this with Jesus. This is like amazing, not like, this is. This is amazing, and God says you could hang your entire theology on this. This is enough. But he says, no, I'll give you the whole Bible. I'll give you the whole counsel of my word. But suffice it to say that when Jesus shows up, nothing else matters. He may show up in a dream, in a vision, in a word, in a prophetic connection. He may show up just as we're saying, Jesus, help. You know, wherever Jesus is at that moment, he's in complete control and in majority, and he's willing to say, do you remember? Are you considering me in this? Do you know that that will stop because I have already stopped it? Hang on to me. Let that be your confession as the great high priest who is constantly interceding. It's amazing. Love it. All right, verse 3. For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, but just so much as the builder, by just so much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. So the builder of our relationships, the builder of our ministry, the builder of our finances, the builder of our future, the builder, not the outcome, not the result, but the builder. This is where our focus needs to be on the builder. And when our focus truly is, we become unstoppable. And the enemy knows that because he's read this. He just doesn't, you know, believe it in the way he should, but he will. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. Okay? Now this is not the Old Testament. This is Hebrews. is talking about our new covenant, a new and better covenant. The old was very important, and there is a connection between the old and the new. We're not talking about that today in its entirety. We'll refer to that. But we're under the new and better covenant. This is a glorious day to be alive. So hesitation and fear and the wishy-washy stuff that we can deal with at times, God is saying, I'm going to give you a better way as you walk through that process, as you go over that bridge. All right? The Lord tells us in Isaiah, he says, you will walk through the waters and they will not overcome you. You will go through the fires and they will not burn you. It's like, well, it feels kind of hot, and it feels as though I'm being singed. So there's a promise, and that's even in Isaiah, for today. And God says, hold fast to that. Think about, everybody in here is thinking about, oh, my mother, my grandmother, myself. And you know, we're all thinking, okay. My life, apply this now. Not tomorrow, apply it right now. God, that's my verse, that's for me. I am not moving from it, because your word is true and solid. And we're not here to prove the validity of the word of God. All right? That's a given. So your word is true, and we believe it, and this ministry is founded on the word, and it will continue that way, and for everybody who's part of it, very strongly. Verse 6, but Christ was faithful as a son, there's the word faith again, over his house, whose house we are. He is faithful to us. He will not let us down. He will not give up on us, and in the season that we're in right now, I'm telling you that this, believing this in our mind, even agreeing right now, is wonderful, but it's only the beginning. It's when this agreement up here actually penetrates here that we're propelled to do something different, to move in a different way, to respond in an opposite way that perhaps we had responded before. And so it's the in-between from here to here that we struggle with, amen? And that's the place that the enemy can really try to hit us. So if he can bring a thought, or we're really good at just thinking ridiculous things on top of ourselves, because we can, we're human, whatever the source is, the Lord says, before it takes root right here, you want to interrupt that process and make sure it comes right down into here. And then when it penetrates the place, as we are spirit people, when it penetrates that place, there will be a shift and there will be a change. And the enemy will do whatever he can to try to knock you out of the park so that you can let go of that, because it just makes him mad. But you're going to rise up going, no, my anchor is in Jesus. I stand on the word of God, and nothing will move me, nothing will shake me, even if you're shaking. You say it, you believe it, and say, God, make it real. Reveal this to the depths of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read that verse again. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. He has to say that in here because he knows that it isn't just a done deal, easy, simple, all right? He knows that. He knows we're in a battle. And he says, listen, hold fast to every word I'm saying right here. Hold fast your confidence. Hold fast what's been revealed. Hold fast what you've spoken out of your mouth, even if you don't feel like it. It's true. Hold fast to that. And the boast of our hope. Firm until the end. Firm until the end. The boast of our hope. The boast of our hope. If we are not feeling hopeful about taking the steps that might be steps that God has for us, then the enemy may be going, no! Don't move, don't change, don't grow. Do it your own way. It was working fine, you see? And God is saying, no, I know how this works. So he's always positive. He's always saying, listen, let's start with love. Let's end with love. Anything that interrupts that, I'm here to let you know I back you. I've got your back. I will make it happen. I am that big. I really am. Love it. Verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your father tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Whoa.
To further affirm that the Lord is serious about this, he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of a taste of what I was feeling and what it was like as I saw my own kids and my own leaders vacillating. And here's what I saw, and it was difficult for them and impossible for many to enter into my rest, which is a place of complete trust. Rest. It's not just, you know, sitting on an island or swimming around an island and then, you know, just enjoying the palm trees and all. That's nice. That's physical rest. But the spiritual rest that comes to us will come from a place of saying, Lord, I believe this. I believe this. Why? Because the spirit of unbelief will rise up, and that has been crucified at the cross with us. If we're alive and breathing in here, which we are, if we're born again, which we are, if we say, yes, Jesus, you are the reigning spirit, which you are, all right, then unbelief and fear, those two things that can crop up and look differently at different times in our life, if we can't see it, we can't do anything about it. But if we do see it and recognize it, then the Lord is faithful to help us escape the effects of that. Okay, so if unbelief would rise up that's already been crucified, the Lord still in his grace will give us warning and he'll shift and say, come on, over here. No. Yep, you're doing a good job. You're taking some steps. Nope, don't go this way. Just keep going. Because he knows how relentless the enemy is. So the next portion of scripture from chapter 3, which we're not getting into, is called, at least in my Bible, the peril of unbelief. And it's all about what can happen. And then chapter 4 starts in about what true rest looks like, which we have tons of sermons all about that. You can go back into the archives and look that up. Okay? But I want to set the standard here. It's a given in this house, but for our hearts, as we go through Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12. Okay? As fast as we can, you know, because I'm kind of tracking here, and I'm going quickly, and I'm doing that purposefully. So hopefully you guys can hang with me here. Okay, chapter 6 for just a moment. 6 is 9 through 20. I want to highlight that, and then we're going to jump into Hebrews 11. So chapter 6. Excuse me. And Andy, I had actually texted you a picture, if you can get that ready, wherever you are. Are you in here? He's teaching. Nick, can you go ask him for it or have him send it to you or something? Then you can just get it up. I'm going to show it at one point. It's just a picture, okay? Thank you. I appreciate that. Hebrews 6, 9 through 20. All right. This is so good. This is about, again, the better covenant that we have. But the premise is, look what I've already done. Here's the anchor of your faith. And it's meant to change you right now where you're sitting. It's meant to do something to you as you sit with every thought going through your mind. Okay? So chapter 6, 9 through 20. But beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Verse 11. Now, this is pretty good. We like this. Thank you, God. He's saying, I'm not forgetting you. I know that you do good things for me. So that's good. Verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. So that's hang fast. Here we go, full assurance of hope. If our hope is pulled out or it's diminished in any way, we are rendered less effective for the kingdom, period. And God has a plan for each one of our lives. Even if we're doing good things, he's saying, where's your hope? I'm going to explain to you hope and faith. And I want you to catch this because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I am going to undergird everything inside of you. I'm going to take who I see you to be, where I've seen you come from, and where I know you're going. And I'm going to pull it into a place of a realization here in a process that we're in to be able to say, oh God, I choose to trust. I choose to believe. I choose to be filled with your hope. This is crazy. Crazy time, crazy season, crazy life. You start with that. Based on the finished work of the cross and the resurrection, we cannot lose. We cannot. Very tangible for you individually when you're talking to God as we're talking about the word, all right? Let the word work for you now as we're listening to it. Okay. Verse 12. Again, we want to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish. See? No sluggishness. Lord, I refuse sluggishness. If we're running a race, a physical race, and we are kind of lackadaisical and sluggish, that's going to affect the outcome. And it can even affect our position in the race. And it can slow us down. Whether we win the race or lose the race, we may not think it's a big deal. But if we're a very competitive person, which most people are, they're not just out running a 5K just for the heck of it. They want to see how well that they can do with their bodies. You want to say, look, I've trained my body. I want to see if I can improve from the last time I ran a 5K. I haven't run one yet. And when I was working out yesterday, I thought, oh, man, I have a long way to go for a lot of things. That's a whole other message. But I was like, okay. Oh, that's a scary thought. So, you know, God's working on me in the physical area for a lot of these things. But in the supernatural, spiritual area, the Lord is saying, get this. If you wake up in the morning and determine, I am not going to be sluggish in the spirit today, whatever that means, then we need the word of God to back us up, don't we? Because sluggish means that we're a little slow. And the Lord is saying, run that race in a good way. So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Oh my. So he doesn't want us to be sluggish, and he wants us to be able to imitate those who you have seen, who you've been connected with, where you have seen faith, where you've seen faith demonstrated. Connect in. Imitate. You don't become like the person, but you're imitating. So you are becoming like the person, but the Jesus in that person with your own personality. Don't you think the enemy hates that? He's saying, the Lord's telling us, imitate, be imitators of those people who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we're going to look at them in the scripture. And then God gives us also people right around us. It's like, Lord, I see it. You're connecting me, so I'm going to walk that out, and that's really helpful. And when we do that, we will recognize the various aspects that are not fitting into anything I've said so far. You can figure out what those are. Yeah. Verse 13, for when God made the promise to Abraham, notice the word Abraham, the name, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, okay, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. 15, and so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. Abraham did. Now, I'm not just up here singing, oh, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you, so let's praise the Lord. That is so cool. Sing it with the kids, but take it to another place. When you're with your kids, grow them up in an atmosphere where they're going to see that mommy and daddy are like Father Abraham or grandma and grandpa or aunt and uncle or whatever, right? Because God gives us that ability. He's really, really strong about that. So he says that Abraham actually obtained the promise. Verse 16, for men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. Wow. 17. In the same way, God desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise, that's you, that's me, the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, a promise. Lord, you are unchangeable. There is an unchangeableness of your purpose for me. For my life. Take those words, look at someone next to you, and speak them out. There is an unchangeableness of his promise toward you. Just do that, would you please? There is an unchangeableness of the promise, of his promise and purpose towards you. There's weight in that. Did we get that confused? Unchangeableness of his purpose and promise. Purpose and promise. He knows what he's doing. He's pretty smart. Nothing's a mistake. Oh, help us, Jesus. Verse 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. The Lord is saying, look, here's what I've done. Here's who is the answer to everything. And hang on to the hope. Invite the hope to take hold of you. Invite the hope to actually set before you and me to become the anchor of your soul. Verse 19, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul. My. A hope both sure and steadfast and one which enters the veil. So when we have something that says, oh, I just don't feel like it. I just don't want to. Those are the times when we really, really need to go to the Lord and say, maybe so, but what do you say about this? Okay? Because the enemy wants to destroy hope. He wants to destroy any forward progress. Especially if we're used to being run by our feelings and emotions. Not that they're not important, I mean, but especially. And then to end this place here, this is so good. Speak this over one another. Not right now. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. 20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner. We can't be forerunners if he didn't enter as a forerunner. We can't say, oh, I'm a forerunner, if he wasn't a forerunner. So if we're not led exactly by our first and only real forerunner, we're just forerunning for the forerunner. He is the forerunner. Here's the scripture that proves that. He's entered as a forerunner for us, running the race for us, right? Accomplishing for us what we could not accomplish for ourselves. Accomplishing for our families what we cannot accomplish for our families. Accomplishing us for us in the ministry what we cannot accomplish in the ministry. He is the forerunner. So if he wants to raise up a company of forerunners, we better know what that means. So then when we say, I'm a forerunner, do you know, if you say those words, oh my goodness, there's this like, bing, red light. Well, that will be tried and tested because forerunners can be knocked out of the park by the enemy if they don't understand how to run and they don't understand what forerunning means and they don't understand that that promise is for them because of Jesus and they will not let go of that. And it may be really hard and really tough, but God says, you want to be a forerunner? You're going to see what price I paid for you to be able to count the cost. You will see what price I paid, Jesus, so you would be able to fully count the cost. This is what I believe was going through the mind and the heart of Tanya when she said yes. I love her. Whether she goes or doesn't go to Mozambique, it was not the issue at all. But the Lord spoke to her heart. And he made her for the wild ride of faith. And that's what she spoke out. So she got her promise. You may think, well, that's really simple. Apparently it was. Easy? No. Simple? Yes. Easy? No. Simple? Yes. For her. For that. God worked on that. So it's just really cool testimony. And if that's for, if you grab that for yourself, you know, it's not for Mose at this point. Unless God does something supernatural that I'm fully not aware of. But what I'm saying to you is, whatever it is that you're hoping and trusting for, let that anchor go down deep and trust God. He's trustworthy. He really is. He says, I'm going to show you what faith looks like. Again, we're not talking about the fear. I told you about the lady who couldn't even say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I almost killed your kid. I felt so bad for her. Around verse 20, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We're not going into Melchizedek. There are messages on Melchizedek that we've preached here. Feel free to read that and we'll talk again. But Melchizedek, just generally speaking, was the king of Salem, and he was a prototype also of the living Christ. And many things started actually during that time, even before the law was given, even in the area of tithing and different things like that. But he was one who just laid himself down. And when you read about Melchizedek from that perspective, you will see what God is saying about showing you his nature and his character through this king. So let's just move on from that. Now, let's turn to Hebrews 11. Jump through Hebrews. I mean, this is the most, one of the most, I shouldn't even say that. They're all powerful. But Hebrews, Hebrews will rock your world. You want a change in your life? Read Hebrews. It's very direct, very strong, very good. And it will help all of us to go a little bit deeper. Okay. 12:22. Wow, can we keep moving? Are we good? Do you like the word? How many are happy with the word of God? That's just to move your arm, because I know you're going to move your arm. Just having fun. Okay, verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 1. Now this, I think every Christian knows this verse, right? Knows it up here. Let's look at it. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All right? This is a decree of what faith is. So God is saying, faith is the absolute assurance inside, assurance of things that you're hoping for. I'm believing. It's the assurance of what you're hoping for and the conviction that it's going to take place. Well, I don't know. I don't get it, but it's going to happen. That's what faith is. It's like, oh. So we start out with faith that God gives us, and then he increases our faith. And as we increase in faith, fear is very threatened, because fear is the direct opposite of faith. So he's saying, I'm going to show you what faith is. I'm going to show you in the word. I'm going to give you expressions in your life. I'm going to allow you to go through the rest of your life seeing what faith really looks like. And it's beautiful because it's me, because I am faith. I am hope. It's a substance also, but it's also a person. He isn't just faithful. He is faith. Isn't that cool? Yeah. It's like, I like that. You're faith. So when I'm faithless, I go to faith and hang on. And guess what? My faith starts to become his faith. I don't just believe in him, oh God, but I begin to have his faith. My faith becomes his faith. I go from having the faith in God to the faith of God. Can you imagine? You've heard that before. That's not new to this house, but think about it if it's new to you today. Okay? I want to be a vessel who demonstrates the faith of God. That's kingdom living. That's what I want. And that's a process, and I know it's for the rest of my life. You don't just go through the process and say, well, we're done with that. That's fine. Now we'll live happily ever after. It's just not how it works in the kingdom. Yeah? Who can agree with that? Really? Think about that. Verse 2. For by it, the men of old gained approval. Now, this is an interesting word, because every one of us wants to feel the approval of everybody, of people. Everybody likes to be liked. To get up in the morning and say, I like to be hated, it's fun. I hope more people hate me. Come on, bring it on. It's really a good feeling. I love it. Oh, man. Taking a shower, going, phew, more hate. It's good. Right? We like to feel that someone sees the best in us. Someone approves of us. It's like, yeah, I like you. You're good. You're a little shaky, but you're good. Whoa, 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 whoa. I can't hear that part. So we want the approval. But the Lord says, I am going to design you. No, let me say it a different way. I have designed you to receive my approval. And when you were justified by faith, boom, you received it. Now you get to walk out the reality of that. So it's so beautiful on Mother's Day. Barb is here today, and it was so beautiful. I just had a picture of you, Barb, and you were standing up here with the other ladies and holding baby Naomi. Riley wasn't here, who is the youngest little baby, but she wasn't here that day. But little Naomi Groover was here, and you saw this picture of the youngest in the house and one who had the maturity to be able to say, I'm going to hold this baby and be a representative of what you're doing on all age levels, at all age levels. for everybody. Okay? And when they stood here, you could feel in the spirit. Well, there goes that feeling word. But that you could sense in the spirit that, God, you're doing something. This is significant. Why do I feel that this is a big deal? Why is this important? When everybody gets a rose, all the females, everybody gets to be told that they are approved of by God and that their destiny is beautiful. And whether they have physically birthed a child or not birthed a child, they're all up here. We're together and not minimizing those who have. Right? Naomi has it. Barb has. But there was this connect between the generations in a way that God was saying, look, I am doing something new here. These are the sounds of heaven, and I'm going to allow you to take part in that. And it's part of my approval process that you are feeling and going, yeah, oh my gosh, you love me. You really love me. So notice that word, approval, right here. For by it, okay, the faith, the men of old gained approval. All right. Let me find that other one. 1 second. Yes. Now, hang on and keep that place, and then go to the end of the chapter in verse 39. And all these, now these are the ones that were martyred, talking about in Hebrews 11, these guys, okay? They were martyred. All right, and it says, and all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. But because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. In other words, the Lord was telling us that as they stood in faith for Him, the initial promise of what they were thinking, okay, of you're going to live a long life, was shown in a different way. They received the promise of God through their faith, but it was shown in a different way. So Abraham, who lived so long and was called to be the father of many nations, and that his seed would spread to the ends of the earth and that he would have a great lineage, do you think he saw all that? No. He saw some of it, but yet the Bible says he received the promise. Okay? So the Lord's teaching us about faith. He's saying, listen, you are in a safe place when you understand what faith really is and how it can grow, how it can increase, and what I will do as a result for that. And I'll give you examples. So there are some who are called by God or will be martyred and have been for their faith. And it talks about that. That's not a fun part of Hebrews 11, but it is a reality, right? And Peter was martyred. But he would say, I have received the promise. You see? But the Lord's helping us delineate between that. He's helping us understand. Wait, are you saying that if I speak to that mountain, it's not going to be removed? No, I'm telling you that when the scripture says, speak to the mountain, it shall be removed, that whatever is in the way of faith shall be removed so you can receive the promise God has. He wouldn't put it in the word if it wasn't true. These are not mind games. These are not word twists. But there is a twister, which we've talked about, you know, recently, that would love to just skew things in our minds so we're not thinking clearly what the Word of God is saying to us. Okay, so isn't that interesting? Both words are talking about approval of God. So let's go back to Hebrews 11. Look at verse 3. Now remember that we're on a faith walk here. This is about faith. By faith, verse 3, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Verse 4. Now we're going to go down this lineup of people because I believe God wants us to hear it today. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So in other words, we can gain a lot from his story, his testimony, right? And we can go into a whole sermon on that. So read about Cain and Abel. Think about that. Think about the account of Cain and Abel. What does that have to do with faith? What did they do that was faithful or fearful? Where did faith and fear interact and cross? Verse 5, by faith, And notice that all the way through this chapter, you're going to see the words by faith. B-Y space F-A-I-T-H, by faith. So by the time we leave here, B-Y F-A-I-T-H could actually become a t-shirt that you wear. By faith. All right, it's not B-U-Y, it's B-Y. So verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Well, that was different. And he was not found because God took him up. He didn't even die. He just was, I mean, God's God. That's what he did. But by faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith. What kind of faith did Enoch have? I want that kind of faith, don't you? What is that? I need to understand that. I'm going to understand where faith and fear may have crossed, if they did. But I certainly want to know what I can find in the scriptures about Enoch and faith. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He had that witness. So that's a component of faith, isn't it? He was pleasing to God. There was approval from God, not just stamp, you're in the kingdom. Okay, next. No, 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 no. This is like, oh my gosh, you're my favorite. I'm so in love with you. You're just amazing. You're incredible. You're my treasure. So if you start shaking in your boots, listen, come to me. I'm faith. And I'm just going to remind you that I stomped that out, and you're going to, come on, I'll help you with your leg. Come on, come on, come on. You're going to do it. You're going to do this stuff. So if you have a dream, okay, and you're fearful at the end of the dream, the Lord's probably speaking to you and saying, where's your faith? I don't think he's going like this. Okay, he's saying, I'm going to show you something. It doesn't mean he can't warn us or whatever. You know, oh my gosh, things can happen. I mean, God's God. He can speak to us any way he wants. But if we're afraid and we're not in faith about whatever it is, God says, maybe that dream was letting you know that I'm helping you. I'm aware. We need to do something about this because I've already paid the price. Isn't that a good word? Yeah. It's a whole other message on dreams. I'd love to give that sometime. Okay. Verse 6. One of my favorites in the scripture. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now notice that God picked one of the big guns, Enoch, and said that Enoch had the inner testimony that he was pleasing God. Like it. So now we go down to a verse that we quote all the time. And without faith, so here's the without. It's like, oh my gosh, without. I don't want to be without. But I just read what it was like to have faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the Lord is saying that Enoch had faith and was pleasing to God. So God is just restating, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is what? That he is faithful, that he is healing, that he is peace, that he is righteous, that he is the bread of life, that he is the resurrection and the life, and you can go and dance all around the room. This is what will continue to strengthen and purify our faith, by believing that God is who he says he is. And it's in here. It's not just here. Where the disconnect comes is when we allow or things happen. And God's saying, that's where I'm going to do my work, because in here, that faith is purified when I give it to you initially, because I give you myself. It's like, wow. Are you feeling encouraged? I mean, this is a big deal. This is no little piece of potato salad here. This is the banquet, you know? God is saying, do you see what I've done for you? And I'm going to increase you through that. This is amazing, amazing revelation. So without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God, and we go to God all the time, right? We go to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In other words, he's going to do it. Not just, I'm going to come to you, and I know that makes you happy. No, he's a rewarder. He says, that's who I am. I'm a rewarder. I can have a t-shirt with a big R. I am faithful to the rewarder. The rewarder. I'm not in it for the reward, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Oh my gosh. He's going to reward the truth that I want to step out and say, I'm shaking, but I believe this. Make it a reality. This is true. This is true. I believe it. I will give you the capacity to believe at greater levels. This is amazing. This is just amazing. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. And we must believe that. Take a look at this again. Let's look at verse 6 and then we'll skate fast. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. It's like, oh, I'm supposed to please him? Yep. Why? That's how he designed it. And we do please him with faith because then we're tethered to him and his faith becomes our faith. And that makes him happy because he made each one of us in his image and likeness. He said, man, that Andrea, I just love her. She is crazy for me. I love it. And she is my favorite. Look at her go, guys. Look at her. Wow. I gave her faith. I gave her my life. My son in the spirit lives inside of her. She's amazing. I just love watching her. Come on. Is that cool or what? That makes you smile, makes her smile at least. It's good. Okay. Verse 7, by faith, here we go. Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, okay, this is nice, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household by which he condemned the world, oh my, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So when we pray out, Lord, you know, I want to be a person of righteousness. We all do that, right? According to faith, it better be your way what you say righteousness is. Amen? Is this good? And he says, according to faith, became an heir of the righteousness. Verse 8. Now, we're going to track quickly, so hang with me. By faith, Abraham. Here's another one. When he was called, he obeyed. There is another aspect of faith. Here we go. Reverently, approvingly, he obeyed. Look at this. He obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He didn't fight it. He said, okay, I'll go. I got it. I don't understand it. I might feel a little bit nervous about it, but you're God and I'm not, so I'll trust you. Amen? I'll go to a place where he was going to receive an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now think about this. If he didn't go, guess what? No inheritance. He did go, he received the inheritance. So when the enemy tries to stop us from what we're supposed to do, he's after the inheritance. The enemy says, I want to snuff it out so that you can't continue to grow in this amazing faith that's going to release this inheritance. I felt that when Barb came up with Naomi, there was a picture in the natural that we could see of a very rich inheritance for the women in this house. Women at large in the world, but specifically here, and it was on Mother's Day, it happened to be that. It doesn't slight you guys. I mean, it just wasn't about you that moment. Okay, but for that picture, for that day, it was the Lord saying, there's an inheritance here. Grab it, walk in it, and don't let anything stop you. Does that encourage you, Barb? Oh, God, you're so faithful. Let's keep moving. He didn't even know where he was going, Abraham, verse 8. Did you see that? He went out not knowing where he was going. Come on, he didn't even have a GPS. He just said, okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll go. You feel that nudge? It's the Lord. Go with it. He's good. Verse 9, by faith, as you're close to the Lord, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise. That wasn't too fun. As in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Again, the lineage that has affected us today. Verse 10, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Oh, man. Again, the focus is on the Lord, architect and builder. Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive. She received the ability. The ability. She had to go do something about it. But she received the ability. So it took two. See what I'm saying? She took steps. Even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. That's kind of crazy faith. Verse 12, therefore, there was born even of one man and him as good as dead as that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. And you know what? If we start speaking those things out when we feel a little shaky in our faith, start reading this out loud, our faith will start to get centered again. And you will not steal my faith, enemy. You will not. You're not allowed. Absolutely not. And if you have, I am going to go and get it back with the power backing me in Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God in me. And I get everything that comes with that and more. That's the rewarder coming forth and saying, you're diligently seeking me. You're putting a demand on the anointing. You're putting a demand on my word. You're putting a demand on me, and I like it. That pleases me. You know, you're not going, you will do this. No, we're partnering with what he's saying and what he's doing. And he's strong, and he's mighty, and he's courageous. You know, we're going to be doing things that aren't fun, that hurt, that take courage. Where do you think the courage comes from? He says, come on, one step at a time. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I will back you up for these guys and gals to be in this book. Can you imagine what they had to go through? Can you imagine the price they had to pay? And they were not under the new and better covenant. They didn't even have the Spirit of God living on the inside. Come on. This is just so cool. You are so cool. Verse 13, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. No, wait a minute. We just read that Abraham did. So don't let the enemy twist that in your theology, going, well, you know, if you know, it says they didn't get it. How could Abraham see all the descendants? They didn't happen yet. Just saying. We need to know have the full counsel of the word to understand what he's really saying. Thank you, Jesus. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Verse 15, and indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. Wow. But I guess they had their eyes on God. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country. If you do what I do, you should see my Bible, circle that word. I'm going to a better place. I want the better answer. I want the better person. I want the better result. I want the better. Because God said, you can have the better because I gave you a better covenant. So why not seek me for the better? That's part of faith. And if you want to be grammatically correct, just say it best. That's good. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. I just can't even deal with that one. I always see it in the movies and go, how did you? Oh my gosh, you always look so calm. Holding a knife over Isaac. I mean, do you really? I mean, come on, he's a real guy. But just saying, he might have just really been so in the spirit. That's awesome. But nevertheless, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he would receive the promises. He would receive the promises. Didn't we read that? Was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom he said, in Isaac, your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people, even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. So I guess he considered that, because he considered Jesus, even though Jesus wasn't born. Go figure. He considered that God, who is Jesus, is able to raise people even from the dead. Where did he get that? You see, this is what faith produces, from which he also received. But he had to consider, he had to think about that as he had a knife in one hand. Or as he's walking up the hill, and we know you can read the story where there may have been a, you know, a little discussion with the Lord, partially. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jesus, Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. But you know what? I just ran over, and the Lord just put my eyes backwards. He said, excuse me, you went too fast. Verse 19, which he also received him back as a type. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Isaac is known throughout Scripture as a type of Christ, as a messianic representation of Jesus Christ and who he is, what he would do for us before Jesus actually came. And that's a whole study in itself. But when you do a study of types, which I have done, it's amazing to see how the Lord will label certain people in the scriptures as a type of Christ, different aspects of Jesus Christ, and Isaac was one of them. Verse 21, there's a lot of names here. Isaac, Jacob, Esau, and 20. Verse 21, Jacob, as he was dying, he blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Oh my gosh, we're talking about sons. Father Abraham had many sons. But the blessing was passed. The blessing was passed. The blessing was passed. Who wants to usurp your blessing? Okay? The blessing was passed. He blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Verse 23. I feel almost, God, this is so hard for me to just not stay on one verse. But I'm doing a scan to provoke you to faith, to provoke you to say, I need to read that. I need to study that. I need to get in the Word. I need to really anchor my soul. I can see that hope might be a bit shaky, that my faith is okay, but, don't rush me, God, or whatever it is. God is saying, listen, we're in a time of acceleration. We're in a time where I'm doing great and mighty things, and I want to loose you from anything that would hold you. So verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden, again, by faith, can't read it because it's got black on it, for those months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid? Oh, okay, how nice. Where'd that come from? By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew his lineage. He knew his true sonship. Verse 25, to endure ill treatment with the people of God, that rather than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. Don't scoot by that. Hang your heart on verse 25 as well for you. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. To the reward. If his eyes are really on God, it's not, oh boy, it's all about me. The reward will be, I am going to be used to be able to help the King of Kings receive the reward for his suffering. That would be my privilege, my pleasure, my DNA, as he gives me beautiful things. It's nice. But ultimately, everything is for his good pleasure and for my pleasure in him. And we come together as a package deal. And when that happens, we can't stop thinking about others and nations and stuff. We just can't. Because he designed us that way, because that's the mind of Christ. That's Jesus. And that's what the enemy wants to slow down and say, not so fast, baby. Back it up. This is way too heavy for me. Fight that lie. By faith he left Egypt, 27, not fearing the wrath of the king as he endured, as seeing him who was unseen. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and that the sprinkling of the blood, and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? It's as though the pen was tired or what? And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouth of lions. Get this, guys. I'm going to read 33 and 34 again. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Let's look at those two verses together, okay? Who by faith, this is you right now, conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Oh my goodness, that's the nature of a forerunner. Would you want to dare call yourself a forerunner? Has anyone in here called him or herself a forerunner? Be careful what you say. Because when we do agree with heaven, he's very serious, and the Lord will back up our words. Let them be legitimate. And let faith arise and enemies be scattered to rob us of the very DNA that he has. This is a house of forerunners. And I believe that that's for anyone who is willing to say yes to the word. Yes, yes and amen. Count me in, God. I want to live that wild ride. I want to be on that wild, wild edge. That's who I am. I'm stoked. You know? Shika. Ukuraba shakarayande sirababa sokorianda da shaka. Urabababa shatata. The rest of the Bible in chapter 11, you can read it. I'm not reading it right now, and I'm not afraid of it. It's the truth. It's what happened. Read it. But I'm going to jump into Jesus, the example. Chapter 12, and then we're going to close here. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. Do you know what encumbrance means in the King James? It means weight. Every weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. The Lord is untangling us because sin entangles us. He says, I want to untangle, I guess, you and me, and let us run with endurance. Another word for endurance is in King James, since I'm reading the NASB. Another word for endurance is patience. Entangle also means in King James, it means beset. To be set, to be stuck. 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 If you're tangled up, you're stuck. Yeah. God says, I'm going to unstuck you or stick you or more and more. Yay, I already did it at the cross. Now you're going to actually feel it. Wow, this is so good. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He doesn't say, let us now kind of meander along. He says, run. He says, run. He says, run. He's looking for the runners. He's looking for the runners. He says, who will run with me? Who will ride with me? Who will ride in my chariots? Who will ride with me? Where are my riders? Where are my riders who will meet the rider on the white horse who will come in the clouds? Where are my riders? Where are the ones that I can say, yes, that one depended on me. So faith grew, faith increased. And they realized that faith comes from me, that I'm the builder of the house. I am the one. I am the one who releases that over you. I am the one. Where are those? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or maturer of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary, you will not lose heart, will not grow weary, will not lose heart. The enemy will try to get us so we'll give up. Say, I just can't do this, it's too hard. And the Lord says, I will make a way. I will make a way every time. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you in a place where you have to give up. It may feel like it, but there's a way out. Here's the way out. Here's who I am, and here's who I have tethered myself to, and that's you. And I will back you up by faith, by faith, by faith. Shay. Hurabashikarababase. Jesus, wow. I felt initially the Lord was saying, read about a father's discipline, verse 4 through, what did I get from him? 17. But I'm hearing a shift right now from the Lord, okay? 4 through 17, I've read up to 3. I believe he's offering that to you. He's offering it to you right now. But I believe in your time with the Lord. May I suggest to you highly, you have been saturated with the word this morning. Take the plunge and say, I will, not for Pastor Mary Pat, but for faith, for him, for the faithful one who is faithful and true. Read verse 4 through the what did I say, 17? Read through that and say, yes, God, because you put this at the end of faith. You're telling me there are things that you need to show me as Papa in heaven because you love me so much and you want my faith to increase in you, my faithful daddy. And you and I surrender to you in that place. It comes right after on the coattails of all of this. Is he worth it? Is he worth it today? The Lord would say, is he worth it? I would say, he would say, am I worth it? Am I worth it to you? Am I worth it to you to see it all the way through, to engage the fullness of this race and this process that will never end, but it will always be good and increase, and our eyes will be opened in greater depth. This is amazing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's jumping me down to verse 25. It was what I just heard. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. He's warning. He's lovingly saying, hang on to me. It's going to be a wild ride. And his voice shook the earth then, and he has shown, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only earth, but also the heaven. Wow. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. That's his appeal to us, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, and I'm ending this chapter, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This is powerful. I believe there's a shift today for all of us who are hearing these words, and the Lord is just moving powerfully on the inside. And now I will read, to close this, a portion of the prophetic word that I got in the mail email a week or two ago. It's from Doug Addison in Los Angeles. I will read part of it that's applicable here. It says, this is a time to stay at peace and stay on course with what God is revealing to you. The turmoil is birth pangs of something new from God that is now emerging. Hey, we are called to be new wineskin believers that will be willing to love people and not judge them. This new move of God that is upon us is a release of supernatural love and mercy. In January 2015, I released a prophetic word, and this is what God said about the month of May. Here we are. Quote, God is going to begin to accelerate things. Just as May is the fifth month, so it will be a time of supernatural release of grace. Hey, because 5 is symbolic of grace. Shika. The spirit and ministry of reconciliation will be released and relationships will be restored. Shirabaso. This will happen even with your own relationship with God as he reveals himself as a father to you. Read the rest of that Hebrews to cement this. There will be a deep mending of hidden hopelessness and building of a greater trust in you. Expect fast movement realigning, sudden movement, quick advancement, and realignment will be the result of these new assignments.
Almost at the end here.
I have been prophesying this. This is a season of time that you can recover things that were stolen or lost over the past 7 years or more. You have to press in and contend for it. This is a prophetic word for now. Inquire of God and get your strategy to break through. This is a prophetic word for now. Inquire of God and get your strategy to break through. Two more things. God spoke to me in the dream that judgments against other people will prevent us from getting to the next level. I woke up repenting for any judgments I might have. And then finally, and Pastor Bill had given a word. He's not read this. He did not know about this. But he gave a word over this weekend about a door, the doors. Listen to this. This is the year of the open door in heaven. God showed me Revelation 4:1 that we need to come up here and I will show you the things that are about to take place. We need to rise above our current trials and situations and gain God's perspective. We've had to battle the continual attacks of the enemy for the past few years, but we will not back down. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we can have the worship team up here to just lead us in whatever God is saying. I just want to pray right now. Father, you gave me this word to give. And Father, the desire of my heart is that all of us, with me included, would receive the depth of the richness of your word deep in the places that you're speaking about, Lord. We're so blessed, God, that you are not the author of any fear or confusion, but you are the author of great and mighty faith and hope. Our righteousness is in you, God. And we're asking, Father, that as we've agreed with your word, as we have said yes on the inside, maybe as little boys and little girls, it wasn't so easy to say yes. Or even as younger children, maybe as growing adults, maybe we've compromised, maybe we've been double-hearted, double-willed, double-minded. Whatever, Father, you would like to bring an alignment into our place, Father, of who we are, our soul, so that we will be able to see our spirit rise. Just rise. Rise with the promises that are flooding our hearts right now. That we are tethered and anchored to the hopeful one, to the faithful one, because you are faith and you are hope. And you're moving mightily, Lord, and to deliver this word that you put on my heart from Hebrews. At the same time, you give us another promise for May. Right now, God, I just believe with all my heart that you are stirring us up to say yes by faith. Yes by faith. Yes by faith. Yes by faith. And then whoever's in the back could put the picture up of the scripture that was actually given to me on Mother's Day. It sits on my mantle, but this picture, this scripture touched me deeply, and I hold fast to it by faith, true faith, not weird faith,
not somebody else's faith, but our own faith, God, that comes from you. You and I are a majority. And your word says, pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. Matthew 21:22. So, Father, I thank you that we're in the throes of receiving right now. I'm just trying to listen to what you want to do. I just sense that right now, as we sing out in gratitude for what God's doing, He's the one changing us and rearranging us and launching us. So I speak out. I speak out an end to whatever would hold us back. I speak out an end to that. And I speak forth a new launching to press in and press on. And I thank you, Lord, that any power and principality that would attempt to stop and halt and bring any kind of retardation or movement backwards for any of us in our faith walk with you as a family, as a ministry, as your children, Father, we speak to it and say no more, and we release the great faith of heaven over this place, over our hearts, over our minds, over our wills, over our emotions, God. And our spirit will rise. Our spirit will rise because it's tethered with you, the faithful one. So by faith we say yes. By faith we sing out for everything that we hope for, dream for, ask for, or imagine. That you will surprise us and apprehend us with the beauty of your word, with the full counsel of your heart from heaven. And nothing, nothing will stop us. Nothing. In Jesus' name, because of the blood of our great and mighty intercessor and the forerunner of forerunners. So as we call ourselves forerunners, let's be on our feet and let's worship the Lord. Let's just stand to our feet and end. You're free to go. You're free to leave whenever you're finished. But let's just worship God. We'll do announcements another time. Thank you, God. Stir us up, oh God. Stir us up. Thank you, God. Let's sing out to the Lord as we close here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is my desire.
Can someone join up here to sing? The worship team. Yeah.